said, Amen.
Keeps us from day to day. He's a God that keeps on making a way. Oh, if you just put your trust in Him today, He's a shelter in the time of your storm. That keeps us from day to day. He's a God that keeps on making a way. Oh, if you just put your trust in Him today. He's a shelter in the time of storm.
Brother Lee and Mr. Bagwell for their leadership in the music ministry. today. Would you help me, please, praise God for them? Amen. Am I a soldier of the cross? That's a great hymn that we used to sing in the church where I grew up. Entitled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? How many of you know that hymn? Lord our God, how thankful we are for this preaching opportunity, for the opportunity to stand before your people. Thank you for your calling and for your anointing on my life. Thank you for the privilege to stand as a soldier of the cross, to proclaim the rich truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We bless your name. Honor us with your presence and with your power. That sharing with the people today, we share, surely I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Am I a soldier of the cross? I'll follow the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? We speak your name this day. We pray that we will speak your name in the power that is thine. For it's in the precious name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. And those who were not ashamed shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, help me. Hallelujah.
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 To the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We continue our theme of preaching from the Beatitudes. Today, matter of fact, today it concludes the preaching from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. It is in the gospel of Matthew that we find the genealogy of Jesus the Christ. He begins with his genealogy and shares with us those persons that were in the lineage, Jesus was in their lineage. Matthew chapter 2 helps us look at the birth of Jesus Christ. He ends by telling us that now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there came wise men from the east saying, we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. Begins with his birth and travels through his 3 years of ministry. He's giving sight to the blind. He's making the lame to walk. He shares with us
At the end of Matthew chapter 28, the great commission of the church to go and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the assurance of God's presence, of Jesus' presence with us. For he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." It is in Matthew chapter 5 that we find the Beatitudes. We've learned in our research, in our walking through the Bible, that the Beatitudes really, bless really means close to the heart of God, or bless, or comfortable in the presence in the power of God. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5, and let us share together in the reading of verses 1 through A of verse 13. And seeing Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are the salt of the earth. You may be seated in the presence of our King. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Joshua. Looking at the book of Joshua, we find a very interesting story. In chapter 5 and 6 of the book of Joshua, we find in chapter 6 the battle of Jericho. And we want to look at the battle of Jericho and what God has done and what God does in human history. How he intervenes on our behalf to ensure that we get the victory, and that he gets the victory, and that he gets the glory. Beginning with that first verse, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And he shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before you the ark, and 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before
him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns, and before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, come past the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. When I look at the text that shares with us that we are blessed. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are men when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. When I look at the Beatitudes and see how God draws us close to him by reminding us of the vicissitudes of life, life's ups and downs. And he reminds us in that last beatitude that when you're going through problems, when you're going through your struggles, just remember that God will take care of you. That God will take care of you. Maybe I should ask the question today, how many of you have you gone through anything that you thought you could not get through until you discovered that God was walking with you through your struggle, through your loss, that God is there to help you and to walk with you, that he never leaves us alone. When I look at the text in Joshua chapter 6 and discover that the people of Israel now stands at Jericho and the walls of Jericho are up, and the children of Israel are now afraid because they know that they are to take the city, but fear has encompassed them. Fear has come upon them, and I can imagine standing there looking at the fortified walls of Jericho, how they wondered, how can we overcome? How can we defeat these persons who now live in the city and it is very fortified? It is not one that is easily broken into. But I need to remind us and to remind Israel that there is nothing that is impossible for God. There is nothing impossible for God if we only believe. You have to look at the life and the legacy of Israel. When they went down into Egypt, as a part of Joseph's family, and they began to grow and multiply. Look at the book of Exodus, and you will see the word Exodus mean going out, but when you will see that they are there based upon the fact that they came because they were hungry. And God blessed them, and they began to grow, and the Egyptians saw that they were growing and became afraid and said, we got to do something. It is not impossible for me to believe that they are there and that they grow. Can I help you? Wherever God's people are, they will grow. Wherever God places his people, he places us there to grow. To multiply in our faith, to multiply in our compassion, to multiply in our charitable giving. And so the Bible says that they grew, and because they grew, they became enslaved by the Egyptians. But thanks be to God, in Exodus chapter 3, we hear God speaking to Moses, saying to Moses, after he had killed the Egyptian, and after he had ran for his life, on the backside of the mountain, he is there. And as he is there, the Bible says that he looks and he sees a bush
that is burning, and he sees this bush that is burning, and he goes closer to the fire. Can I help you here? When you come closer to the fire, God speaks to you. Oh, y'all not walking with me. Do I have anybody went to Sunday school? I'm just telling the Sunday school story. The Bible says that the voice spoke and said to Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Can I help you? Those of us who've been in the world know that we can bring worldly stuff into the church. But the church is holy ground. It is where God dwells. It is where the people of God looks and sees his holiness, as Isaiah saw his holiness in Isaiah chapter 6, where he says, I saw his holiness in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And above him stood the cherubims, and above him stood the angels, and one cried out to another. Antiphonally, one cried out to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the Bible says that the doorpost moved at the voice of them that cried. Can I ask you a question? If wood can move when they hear the holiness of God, why can't we, who he has breathed into our lives the breath of life and we'll become living souls, why can't we shout glory, hallelujah, when we hear of the holiness of God? So the Bible helps me to understand that when they left out, that God said to Moses, I've heard their cry. Thank God for a God that can hear. Thank God for a God that named God Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Thank God for the God Elohim. Thank God for the God that knows our struggles and identifies with our struggles. He identifies with our struggles through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sent his son. Are you walking with me? He sent his son. His son came and walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, healing and not only healing, but preaching. He said, I've seen. Thank God for the God who sees, who understands, who sees with the naked eye and with the spiritual eye that we are going through. And he said, I've heard their cry. I've seen their struggle, and I've come down to deliver them. And so he sends Moses back to Egypt. Can I help somebody here? God sends us back to where we've come from, that we may bring others out like he has brought us out. Can I help somebody here? Is there anybody here that God has brought from darkness to the marvelous light? That God has brought from sinner to saint? Is there anybody here that God has moved in your life and made a difference in your life? Sends him back to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. We move quickly, and we move quickly, and they're now moving out. They're taking not just their lives with them, but they're also taking jewelry. They're taking gold and silver from the Egyptians. They are taking the things of value. They're not going out poor. They're going out with some of the material things that they can use to better enhance their quality of life. And so they go out. And as they go out, they discover that they come to the Red Sea. They come to the Red Sea. I'm talking about God will take care of you. Come to the Red Sea, and they stand before the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is before them. And the mountains are on either side, and behind them is Pharaoh's army. And the Bible says that they turn on their leader and said, why did you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here to die? Why would you lead us out here? Moses is discouraged. But thanks be to God that when leaders in the church get discouraged, they know who to go to. They don't go to one another. They go to God. Whenever you're discouraged, whenever you're having a problem in your life, you can go to your neighbor, but you may discover that your neighbor is going through the same thing that you're going through. So you need somebody that's above the neighbor. You need somebody that knows our struggle and knows how to deal with us. So he goes to God and talks to God. God says to him, what's that you got in your hand? It's just a simple rod. Stretch it out. And then tell the people to go forward. God never wants us to back up. He always wants us to go forward. He doesn't want us, he does not want us to stand and march time. He wants us to go forward. Our command is to go forward. Our command is not retreat. Our command is to go forward. Is there anybody here that thought you could be comfortable sitting in church and doing nothing? But all of a sudden there was a need in the church and the voice of God spoke to you and said, you can meet that need. You can sing that solo. You can stand on the floor as an usher. You can stand behind the sacred desk and declare the word of God. God doesn't want any coward soldiers in his army. There are no coward soldiers in God's army because God is an encourager. For he says, lo, I'm with you always. God is an encourager. Not only is God an encourager, but God is a comforter. He sends his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to comfort us. And so the Bible says that they move forward. Thanks be to God that God knows that sometimes when we're going through the river, sometimes when we're going through the seas of our lives, that sometimes we can get dirt. We can get mud on our feet, but the Bible says they walk through on dry land. Is there anybody here that's been through something? You had struggles in your life, but thanks be to God, it didn't burn your hair, didn't burn your clothes, it didn't scorch you. You walked through the fire and you walked through and you came out on dry land because God will take care of you. Israel is now in the wilderness. They're hungry. So they turn again. Why is it that when things go bad, you always turn on your leader? Why is it that when things are not as you think they ought to be, you don't go to God, you turn on your leader? Turned on Moses and why did you bring us out here? Wasn't the flesh pots of Egypt good enough? So the Bible says that the Lord heard their cries and he opened up the windows of heaven and poured them out more food. Fold them out. They looked at the food. They didn't know what it was. I remember sometimes my grandmother would fix some stuff and I didn't know what it was. She'd throw it out there and I'd look at it and say, what's this? That's what manna means. What's this? What is this? They didn't understand what it was, but let me tell you, once they took it unto themselves, they noticed that it was round. That helps me to understand the universality of God, that the word of God is for all people. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. It was round, the universality of God's love and of the power of God. And then the Bible says that when they tasted it, it was sweet. Can I help you something? The psalmist says in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there anybody here that you felt like you didn't know what it was? You don't know why you were going through this struggle, but once you talk to God, once God blessed you, you say to the world, I found a blessed Savior and he's sweet, I know. So the Bible helps us to understand that God will take care of you. Moses is now dead, and God speaks to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and says, my servant Moses is dead, but as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Can I help somebody here that's lost a loved one? As I was with, so shall I be with you. God is an encourager, and because he encourages us, we can go through life looking at the handiwork, looking at the power of God. So he says to Joshua, Joshua, I'm with you. But I like what Joshua said when they were in the wilderness and they were acting crazy. And they had built they had built a golden calf. They'd taken the gold that they brought, melted it down, formed an image, and started worshiping that image and praising that image and walking around singing to that image. But thank God that God saw that. But God had given us a commandment. He'd given Moses a commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Can I help somebody here? Whenever you trust God, God trusts you. Whenever you praise God, God will lift you up. Whenever you give God the glory, God will bless your name. Whenever you turn to God, whatever you're going through, God will bring you through. Is there anybody here that the Lord has brought you through the storm? Bible says, Joshua looked at all of that and said to the people, you can do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God needs some more saints to say, you can do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, I'm taking control of my house. I'm taking control of the situation because I know how good God has been to me. Fed me when I was hungry, gave me drink when I was thirsty, clothed me when I was naked, put shelter over me. I know what God can do. So you can serve who you want to. But as for me, in my house, we won't serve Buddha. We will serve God. We won't serve Zen because it sounds like sin. We're going to serve God. So the Bible says, it says to Joshua, now Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And so we come now to the text. Blessed are men. Blessed are they. When people talk about you, when they lift your name on the signboard of life, don't try to defend yourself. For I've already said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I've already said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Blessed, blessed. And so now, Joshua, out there with the army and looking at the walls of Jericho, probably staring at them and said, Lord, what are we going to do? But thanks be to God that God gives us the answer when we ask him the question, what are you going to, what are we going to do? Can I tell you something? First of all, the soldiers who fight the best, they worship God before the battle on their knees. They talk to God before the battle. Some folk go into the battle and then talk to God. But before you go into the battle, you need to be sure that you dress for the war. And if you dress for the war, then you know that God is your breastplate, that God is your helmet of salvation. And so the Bible helps me to understand that the soldiers who fight the best, they spend time on their knees before the battle. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and you will discover that God gives them direction. When I look at this text, I understand that we do not win the battle. God wins the battle for us. We win our battles on our knees and our face toward the Lord as we focus on him. And so the Bible says that God gives them instructions. He tells the man of God what to tell the people. Look at the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given to thine hand Jericho, verse 2, and the king thereof in the mighty men of valor. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't worry about your battles. Don't worry about your struggles. God has already given you the victory. That's what it says here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. What he's saying is whatever you're going through, whatever the problem is, I've already given you the victory over it. If it's a man or woman on your job that's giving you hell, don't worry about that. You already got the victory. All you have to do is follow the instructions of God. Look at verse 3. And he shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. And then you shall do it six more times. What if they have just marched around the city five times? What if they have not followed God's commandment? Can I tell you, God's commandment is God's enablement. God, if we just follow his command, he enables us to win the victory in his name. And so notice, if you will, no man can win a battle. No man can win a battle without having loyal companions. No man can defeat anyone without having the power of God and others to work with him. That's why God sent his disciples out two by two. And that's why God gave Joshua the instructions to have the priests, the man of God, to go out, and seven priests shall bear before the altar seven trumpets of ram's horn. And the seventh day he shall come past the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they have made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down, and the people shall ascend up, every man straightway before him. Can I help you here? If we follow God's direction, there's nothing that we cannot do. If we follow God's direction, there's nothing that we cannot do. If we follow God's instruction, there's nothing that we cannot do. If we follow God's direction, there's nothing that we cannot do. When we follow God's method, God wins the battle and God gets the victory. And so I can see in my sanctified imagination, as I come pretty much to a close, I can see in my sanctified imagination Joshua giving the orders, march, and I can see the priests, and I can see those bearing the ark, and I can hear with my sanctified imagination and sanctified hearing the blowing of the ram's horn. And the Bible says they marched around seven times. Is there anybody here that will march around the wall of sin seven times? You got a hard situation in your home. It won't go away with one march. It won't go away with two marches, but it will go away with seven marches. I read what the archaeologists have said. They said that the marching around, that they moved the earth. But I can tell you something. That may be true, that the earth did move, but it was God moving the earth. The Bible says that as they marched around, that the Bible says that the walls came tumbling down. We sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. But can I help you here by sharing with you this one other thought? We must trust God for the impossible. It had to be somebody in that crowd that said these walls are not going to come down with a shout. But I tell you, if you praise God in this place, if you shout the name of God in this place, and you follow God's commandment, the walls of sin will come tumbling down. Not only that, your wayward boys, your wayward girls, your wayward wife, your wayward husband, when you shout the name of Christ, is there anybody here that know that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess? Is there anybody here today that had a little talk with Jesus, and because you talk with him, you now feel like the victory is yours? But let me tell you, the victory is in Christ. He gave us victory on Calvary. When they thought he was dead on that Sunday morning, he got up
from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Is there anybody here that understands that the power of God comes when we trust God and when we listen to his commandments and we do it the way that God wants us done? Let me close by telling you, you can trust God to play his song of confidence in you. You can serve God with poise. You can serve God with power. You can serve God with courage. You can serve God with hope because he believes in you. The Bible says he that is within us is greater than he that's in the world. Can I help you here? You can win the victory when you trust God, when you say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Just know that your heart is clean. You can see God. Just know that when you fight with the power of God, for the victory is God and the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Let me share with you a story that I read about the San Diego Chargers. They were losing the game and the score was 14-0. And the coach said, well, my quarterback has been a good quarterback, but I think I'm going to pull him out. So he pulled Dan Foss out of the game and puts in the game Bobby Douglas. Bobby Douglas is a substitute. And he remembers that the victory really, if won, belongs to the starting quarterback. And the story goes that he runs out on the field. But as he's running out on the field, he looks up and he sees the scoreboard. And he sees that the score is 14-0 and that his team is losing. So he turns back and goes to the coach and says to the coach, do you want me to tie the game or win the game? Oh, I wish I had some help here. Do you want me to tie the game or win the game? When you're working for the master, all you got to do is trust him and trust his confidence in you and bring sinners to Christ, and Christ will clean them up. The Bible helps me to understand that God gets the victory and God gets the praise, and I get a chance to sit in the kingdom of God. Is there anybody here that's willing to work for God so you can sit in the kingdom of God? I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God for his goodness. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his love. I thank God for when he gives me joy in the midst of my sorrow. God believes in us and we can trust God. We can trust him because in Ephesians 6:10 it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. In 2 Timothy 2:1 it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 4:11 says, Whosoever serves must do with the strength of God that God supplies. And I'm like Colossians 1:11. It says, may you be strong with all the strength that comes from the glorious power of God. Can I tell you something? I like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer, how he puts it. He said that we can be confident as Christians because God will give us all the strength that we need in time of trial. But God never gives it, to us in advance, lest we think that power comes from us and not from him. Thank God that I waited on him. Thank God that Second Baptist waits on the Lord. And then I can tell you this, you can trust God to play his song of victory in you. Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. And while he was planning his funeral that took place in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, Churchill included in the service many of the great triumphant hymns of the church and many of the scriptures like "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. And the story goes that he left the following instruction, that he wanted a bugler to play taps at the end of the service. Taps means that the day is over. And after the man finished playing taps, a great surprise. He had put in his desire for his funeral for another trumpeter to come up and play. Yeah, reveille. Reveille means it's time to get up. It's time to get up. Can I help the Christian here as I go to my seat? Don't worry about when life's journey is over. They may play taps on this side, but God has an angel named Gabriel who shall blow his horn. He's going to blow so loud until the dead in Christ shall rise. I don't know where you shall be, but I'll tell you, I'm going to be somewhere. Oh yeah, listening for my name, listening for reveille. Get up, get up, get up. He got up that Sunday morning just before the break of day. He got up because, yeah, all power in heaven and earth was in his hands. Is there anybody here that knows something about Jesus the Christ? Is there anybody here that knows something about resurrection power? One glad morning when this life is over. I'll teach you. I shall rise. Blessed are men who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Can I tell you something? Go ahead and talk about Deacon Shelton. Go ahead and talk about Trustee Thurston. When you get through talking about them, God has a message for them. And that message is, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful. Oof. I like what my grandmother used to say. She said, talk about me as much as you please, but when I get out on my bending knees, I'm going to tell God all about you. If when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, and men don't believe you, take up your staff. Run quickly to meet him. He'll understand and say, well done. Is there anybody here looking for a well done? Be not dismayed, whatever be time. God will take care of you. I believe that. I'm going to heaven believing that. I'm standing on that. Because I believe in my heart of hearts that God will take care of you. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church is standing. Deacons are coming. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor the walls did come down. You can trust God to bring your walls down. Oh, yeah. The door to my Father's house is standing open. We invite you to come.